Vice President Joe Biden is not running for president. He announced his decision this morning at the White House, saying his window to launch a bid has closed.
It's our weekly look at the latest in national politics with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. Now that Biden is out of the picture, eyes are focusing on Hillary Clinton as she prepares to give her testimony to the House Select Committee on Benghazi. That's tomorrow.
A little closer to home, Wisconsin's Paul Ryan has agreed to run for House Speaker, but only if his conditions are met. Harry Enten joins us now. Harry, welcome back.
Hello.
So Biden not running for president. It seemed like we didn't know which way this was going to go until he started talking today.
Well, you know, we had so many false media reports out there, people saying, oh, he's going to announce that he's going to run in 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours. And this has gone on for a number of weeks now. But what Biden never did was he never built the campaign apparatus in order to run for president. Remember, it's October 21st right now. It's very late in the campaign. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley have been in the state of Iowa for a number of months now, putting a team together. Biden made no moves towards that. And yes, we heard those reports, but there was no campaign apparatus, hence no campaign.
You know, you look at that speech, though, and about, I don't know, maybe two-thirds of it was all stuff he could have said announcing that he was running for president.
He learned a great trick from the press, as you know. You write your story ahead of time, and then you amend it depending on which way you feel that particular day. So, yeah, it sounded that could have easily been a campaign speech, and there's no doubt that Biden was going back and forth, I think, in his own mind, where he was like, I really want to run. I really want to do this. I've been in the United States Senate since 1973. I was a vice president now for 7 years. It's my time. But I think at the end of the day, what Biden realized was there was no viable path to actually win the election, win the Democratic nomination, and that got the better of him, and that's why he's out.
And it seems like he's really putting himself out there, not as a, you know, you won't have Joe Biden to kick around anymore, but Joe Biden is going to be a powerful voice in the Democratic Party. So what role does he play now?
I think that he plays a senior, you know, a senior statesman. He'll play the same role that Barack Obama will play as Obama's time in office winds to a close. He's going to probably endorse one of the candidates running for president down the line. And when he does so, it'll be this, you know, great ceremony where Biden will bestow upon this candidate his, you know, guiding hand, his wishful hand. And so he'll do that, and he'll try and, you know, fight for legislation that he believes is important to the American people. But at the end of the day, Biden's time as an elected official will be coming to an end on January 20th, 2017.
So he's out. Good news then for Hillary Clinton's primary campaign?
I would say this is one of the best days in her campaign in a very long time. You know, Bernie Sanders has mounted a nice campaign for president, but he's never really gone beyond of the liberal base of the Democratic Party, while Clinton has been able to reach all different sections. The only other candidate who probably could have done so was Joe Biden, who, of course, was a sitting vice presidential candidate, who if Barack Obama had endorsed, it would have been a big deal. Once Biden's out, the polls indicate that most of his support goes to Hillary Clinton, who now, with Biden out, has over 50% of the vote nationally, and we'll see about Iowa and New Hampshire as the polls come out in the days and weeks ahead.
Wild speculation. Joe Biden, assuming there's a Democratic president, a cabinet position for him?
I mean, of course, it's possible. You know, the old joke was Joe Biden is the greatest vice president this country's ever had. Why doesn't Clinton pick him? But remember, Joe Biden at this point is even older than Hillary Clinton is. And I think he's going to go back to Delaware. He'll probably spend time with his family, who he loves. That's very clear from all the statements he's made. So, you know, he's been on the national stage for a very long time, and it's been an illustrious career, and there's nothing I don't think to be ashamed of if I'm him.
Talking to Harry Enten about the latest in national politics. Well, Hillary Clinton now, tomorrow, testifying to the House Select Committee on Benghazi. A lot of buildup to this in the political world. What are we going to be looking at tomorrow?
I think, if I were to speculate, I think what we'll be looking at the end of the day is that Hillary Clinton, this is her last big test of this month. And if she is able to get through those proceedings without really getting hurt, then she is going to be in an even stronger position to be the Democratic nominee for president. We'll see how Republicans treat her. I think that there has been a lot of talk recently that this is a partisan witch hunt. So it's going to be sort of this matchup where Republicans are going to want to go after her hard so that they can justify what they've been doing in building this all up and spending over $4 million of taxpayers' money on these investigations, but at the same time, they don't want to come across as merely being partisan. So I don't know exactly how Republicans are going to handle this, though they're obviously going to be asking her about why wasn't there more security, how did you allow this to happen, what's the security situation on the ground now, at least when as of when she left office. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting, good political theater to watch.
One thing that emerged from this Benghazi investigation, and there will be questions about that, but the email issue, the private email server, were classified emails in the wrong place, that sort of thing. Is there talk that that's going to be featured tomorrow?
There's talk that it would be featured insofar as it relates to Benghazi, but I don't think that they're going to be opening up a whole new bag of worms with that, going deep into the emails beyond how it applies to Benghazi. And you could already tell, at least on the Democratic side, that there is just a general sickness that they don't want to talk about this email stuff anymore. You saw Bernie Sanders last week, you know, basically hugging Hillary Clinton on national television saying, we're sick of the emails. I think that Clinton, at this point, as long as she can get through tomorrow, and it seems like she's going to, it's just going to be a very, very strong position.
All right. We've been talking about the Speaker of the House and who's going to be the next one for a while now, and this whole will he or won't he with Paul Ryan. Yes, if is the answer. So what conditions is Paul Ryan looking at to get him to go for this job?
It seems like he almost doesn't want it with the conditions that he's put out. Essentially, he wants unity. So he wants all of the House, you know, Republican caucuses to get behind him. It's most importantly, the Freedom Caucus, which was a thorn in the side of John Boehner and a thorn in Kevin McCarthy, and one of the reasons McCarthy ultimately didn't want to go for it. So that's one. And the other thing is they want to essentially kill the rule to vacate the chair. That is, if Ryan were to become a speaker, he doesn't want to be voted out with a majority of the vote from Republicans saying, you know, we don't want you no longer to be the Speaker of the House of Representatives. These conditions are things that the Freedom Caucus simply just doesn't seem willing to do at this point. And I think Ryan kind of knows that. He's sort of making a Hail Mary. If I can get all of my conditions met, then that would be great. But otherwise, he's going to be happy just going back to being a chairman. So I don't think Ryan is going to end up being the speaker, but this speaker race has been going on for so long and so many twists and turns, nobody really knows.
And Ryan was a conservative favorite. People happy when he became the vice presidential candidate for the Republicans. Now some prominent conservative radio show hosts speaking out against him. I've gotten emails from Phyllis Schlafly in the Eagle Forum saying they don't trust him on issues. Are we seeing more people on that conservative wing turning against him?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of things that are going on here. I think that Republican Party generally, if we look at roll call votes over the years, we see that the House Republican caucus has gone further right. Ryan is relatively moderate on immigration. That's a big deal right now in the Republican race for president. You see that with Donald Trump. And he being open to immigration negotiations in terms of immigrants who are here illegally just doesn't play well for him. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, it's not a matter. I mean, obviously, these congressmen look at, you know, outside voices. But at the end of the day, it's all about those members of Congress and not about those outside voices. And how they vote, we don't know yet.
Turning to the Republican side of the presidential race, you just mentioned Donald Trump. A headline, I think, on your 538 website, something like Donald Trump is doomed and or inevitable. So this is a wild card here. We don't know what's going to happen with this unprecedented type of candidate.
Sure. I mean, if you look historically and you look at where Donald Trump is, and he has no real support from establishment figures, he hasn't raised any money, he hasn't really spent any money on a campaign apparatus, you would think Donald Trump was going nowhere. But Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He gets a lot of free airtime from the media. He's been in the lead in the polls since July. The longer that goes on, the longer you sort of go, I wonder. But at the end of the day, I think the agreement that we've generally come to here at 538 is Trump isn't likely to be the nominee. The real question is the fact that he's been able to stay in the lead so long with what he's doing, what does that say about other candidates who otherwise you might dismiss, like Ted Cruz? Maybe he has a much better shot than we would have thought otherwise.
And then the issue you're really following these days, not this politics stuff, I understand you're a big fan of the New York Mets.
I enjoy watching the New York Metropolitans play on the television, that baseball game, and they've been doing fairly well so far, and we'll see if they're able to clinch tonight.
What are you prognosticating there at 538?
I think that when you're up 3-0, we prognosticate that you're most likely going to win the series. You don't need a lot of complex math for that.
Our neighbors in Chicago and their long-suffering Cubs, not a lot of hope there?
I would say the Cubs are a great team, but they haven't been hitting a lot of home runs, which is something that they need to do to win, and the Mets pitching has been dominant. And, of course, the Mets also have Daniel Murphy playing for them. So as long as he keeps hitting and the Mets keep on pitching, it's going to be a tough road to haul for the Chicago Cubs.
Good luck to you, Harry. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking politics and a bit of baseball with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time with the latest in national politics.